I am reading from some, but similar things are there in other cases also. I expect thoughtlessness in meditation. That doesn't happen every time. I become restless with incidents that happen with my dear ones. I want to overcome my restlessness with my sadhana. That does not happen. I want to become lovable to everybody. I am not able to. Now here there are two things. One is about meditation, another is about interaction part. Now meditation, many have written that thoughtlessness, that why do we look for that thoughtlessness? That we should know. If the mind just thoda sa volume kam kare, thoda sa main volume thoda kam kare. See, just by remaining blank, what is going to happen to us? That I am saying thoughtlessness everywhere they say mano nasha, but we have to understand what is the real aim of such practice. It is not the thoughtlessness we are generally writing about. That vritti nirodha or vritti shunyata, if it happens, it is such a great revolutionary thing that you won't have to ask about it or write about it or again and again you want to have it. It is not like that. It is such a, it will change the whole concept, everything. So what we are calling thoughtlessness is not really a free of vritti, the vritti hina, that absolutely free of vritti state of the mind. Because I am there, that still my image about my personality, I am meditating, I am finding thoughts are not there. That I am finding thoughts are not there is already there, perhaps. I cannot say everything what is happening, but from the report I can understand that it is not a desirable state we are talking about. It could be some jada samadhi where you don't have any thought at all. You can remain there for years or decades also. Nothing is going to happen by that. We should understand the purpose of mind. The mind is as the legs are meant for walking. If you keep the legs idle, then will not the muscles become bad, useless? If our tongue is not used for speaking or singing, will it not become useless? Its muscles also will go after some time. All the organs are meant for certain purpose, fulfilling some purpose in our life. Like that the mind is meant for meditation. Mind is meant to think. It is not to stop the thinking of the mind. Similarly, intelligence is meant for analysis. It is not to do away with the function of the intelligence. Then it will become useless. So what we aim at is to make the mind think in the way we like, in the way we want, not going in its own manner. Normally what is happening is that it is just going here, there as it is. I mean, like I call it dynamic inertial, that is our body has got static inertia, like it does not want to move. Intelligence has got static inertia throughout the day. We don't apply our intelligence. Is it not so? Even when we are chanting, we don't apply our intelligence and attention. So it has the static inertia. Whereas dynamic inertia is when a wheel is moving, it will go on rolling unless you stop it with a brake. So mind is like that, it is going on rolling in its own manner. That is also an inertia. Inertia means it tries to preserve its own state. So mind has got this dynamic inertia. Now our purpose is not to stop the mind absolutely, the mind will function, but we have to make it function in the way we want. It has to function in an auspicious manner. It should fulfill the purpose of life. So if at all we are trying to take a thought-free state, the meaning is different there. It is to discover the consciousness which is revealing the external world, revealing the internal world. I am repeatedly using these words. It has to be very deeply actualized. That is, normally, suppose I am seeing the camera. Now, this camera will not be seen by me unless this camera is, it appears in my consciousness, in my mind. I will not be able to see it. So it has to appear. Now, when the consciousness is revealing, mark my word, when the consciousness is revealing the camera, in the consciousness, is there any camera getting in? Nothing like that. The consciousness is taking the form of the camera. Even saying that is not fully all right, but at least the camera is appearing in the consciousness. The consciousness is revealing the camera. So the moment the camera is revealed, our focus is on what is revealed, on the camera, and not on the consciousness which is revealing the camera. Anything, a book we are seeing. The moment the book, our focus is on the book. But the consciousness which is revealing the book, we miss. Every perception we are missing the perceiver. The consciousness which is responsible for all the perceptions, every perception we are missing it. There lies the problem. So why do we go in for a vritti shunya state, that there is no vritti, no thought, as we say. Actually it is vritti, no vritti. That means even the concept of God, concept of Brahman, concept of truth, that also will not be there. Concept means it is a formation in the mind. And my consciousness is revealing that. Suppose the thought of my mother has arisen in my mind. Unless the consciousness reveals the thought, we will not know. It has to reveal that. Now, while revealing that mother's impression in the mind, the consciousness is taking the appearance of the mother. And our focus is immediately on the mother, we miss the consciousness. In the dream also, the whole dream is created. We only see that I have seen a big palace in the dream. But it is all in the consciousness only. That consciousness we are missing in every perception. That is why in Keno Upanishad it is said, Prati bodha viditam matam amritatvam hi vindate. Keno Upanishad, it's a very important shloka. Prati bodha viditam matam amritatvam hi vindate. Atmana vindate viryam vidyaya vindate amritam. This atmana vindate viryam is used very often. He says, Prati bodha viditam matam amritatvam hi vindate. One becomes immortal, not becomes, one realizes his immortality, amritatvam. When? Pratibodha viditam. When he finds the truth in every perception. Because the perception is rising in the consciousness. And that consciousness we are missing. Because what is perceived, our focus is on that. When we perceive the revealer and not the revealed, but the revealer, then we understand who we are, what I am, that I becomes clear. Now, what is happening technically, if you want to think clearly, that whenever it is express, it is revealing any object. Now, I am using the word object. Don't always get linked to any external object, material object. Our thoughts are also object. Our concepts are also object for the consciousness. Even the concept of God, concept of truth, concept of Brahman, they are all objects in our mind. So, whenever the consciousness is revealing any object, it is taking the form of the object. Otherwise, we will not know. Revealing means it is appearing in the object, so the consciousness is taking that form. So, when there is no object to be revealed, the consciousness is not getting engaged by any object. When the consciousness is not revealing anything, either external object or internal object of thought or anything, then it remains free in its own pristine nature. So then it reveals itself. We can come to know its own pristine nature. This is what we attempt. As long as thoughts are there, the thoughts will be revealed. So we miss it. To trace it, to locate it, we need a state when there is no vritti, so that the consciousness is revealed in its pristine form. This is what we call samadhi, or knowing the truth, knowing consciousness, knowing atma, knowing Brahman, whatever you may say, in its nirguna form, in its pristine form, to come to know of it. Once we are able to identify it, then we will be able to identify it in everywhere. But the first identification becomes easy when there is no other revelation taking place. That is, in that state there will be no world, no, even individuality also will not be there in that form. Nothing will be revealed, only it will reveal itself. That is why in Kathopanishad it is said that Nayamatma Prabachanena Labhyo Namedhayana Bahunashrutena Yame Vaisha Vrinute Tena Labhya Tasyaishatma Vivrinute Tanum Swam. That this Atma is not to be had by Medha. Medha means brilliance, talent, buddhi, etc. It will not be. However, we may explain the Shastras this way, that way, oh, with lot of clarity, but the realization will not take place. Na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. Even if we listen to the truth from so many people, great, great knowers, big, big knowers, famous knowers, even then it will not be understood. Yam eva esha, yam eva esha vrinute tena labhyaha tasya esha atma swam tanum vivrinute. A person who opts for this atma, as in marriage we put the garland on, out of all the people, we put the garland on one. We select one out of everybody and we embrace him or her for lifetime. They are taking that example, that one who puts the garland on Atma, that means he chooses Atma to be his only aim and nothing else in the world. That means he does not want anything in the world at all except his own self. Only when we don't want anything else, the mind can become free of vritti. Then your mind will only look for the Atma and nothing else at all, not even to become self-realized also. That also will not be there. So, absolutely free of desires. To him, he says, the tasya esha Atma swam tanum vibrinute. He opens up his own secret. The Atma opens up it up, her own secret to him. That is, reveals, the Atma reveals herself to him who selects Atma in preference to everything else in the world. In Kathopanishad further, the technical part is expressed in another, that yada panchavatishthante jnanani manasasaha buddhishtana vicheshtate tamahu paramam gatim. That is the supreme state where panchavatishthante jnanani manasasaha. When all the five indriyas, all five sense organs of knowledge are still, they are not sleeping, mind you. When we are sleeping, the eyes will not function, the ears will also not function to some extent. They are not functioning, they are all sleep, they are asleep. In this case, they are not asleep, they are awake. But they are still. All the five organs are still. Manasasaha, even the mind is still. Now what does it mean? Mind is still means it is not thinking at that point. This is what we want thoughtless. The mind also is not functioning. The mind's nature is to always think. Just like the legs. They are working means they are walking or doing something. They are not doing, they are still. Like that the mind is also still, but it has not slept off. It is not sleeping. Buddhishtana vicheshtati. The intelligence also is not putting its effort, because the intelligence is always effortful. That, have I become thoughtless? Are you, how, when you are thinking, how can you become thoughtless? Because this itself is a thought, have I become thoughtless? Or I have become thoughtless? So the intelligence always finds, is this the self or is this not the self? This is also an effort of the intelligence. Have I reached the samadhi or have I not? This is also an effort of the intelligence. As long as the effort of the intelligence is there, that is a vritti. So buddhishtana vicheshtati, when the buddhi also is not putting any effort, it is not functioning. That means all are awake but non-functional, still, tamahu paramam gatim. That is the supreme state. Because that is the state when the self reveals itself. So we should understand that the meditation, whenever we want to reach thoughtless state, it is this that we attempt. So immediately we will have a self-experience there. It is not just casually saying that every day I reach the thoughtless state and nothing happens. That is not a thoughtless state. And that kind of a thoughtless state we don't attempt also. By that what will happen? There are various kinds of samadhi discussed. Many are like jada samadhi. There are so many kinds are there. Where there is no growth, no purificatory process, nothing. You just remain like a stone. You may remain like a stone for decades. And you get up, you will be the same if you have got up after 1 second or 1 minute also. It is just like an unconscious state. It is not sleep, but it is an unconscious state. Maximum you can feel restfulness after that a little. That will be there. Sometimes you may feel heavy also. It depends what kind of a state it is. So let us understand that the meditation is a process for the discovery of the self. It is not just remaining idle and just getting up like that. So what we have to do is to, generally it has to be, one has to be properly getting initiated in the process by a guru. And he will direct, he will give a mantra, and following that he will give a process, and according to that we have to do it. But I find these are for the initiated disciples also this is written. So naturally, what you have to do is, as I said, the easiest process is to surrender to the Guru Shakti, those who are initiated. Completely give ourselves to the, hand over our kartritva to the power of initiation. And let it take me wherever it wants. Then automatically we will become thought free. Why? Because I am not saying anything what I have to do. I am absolutely relaxed. This is true everywhere. Even in Patanjali Yoga Sutra also, the three conditions of meditation, the first one is Sukhasanam. Sukhasanam means you have to sit very sit or lie or whatever. It has to be a comfortable posture. Otherwise the mind will be on the body. So it has to be comfortable posture. The second point is Prayatna Shaithilya. Shithila means looseness. Prayatna means effort. That means effortlessness. Now you think that whenever you sit for meditation, oh, I am meditating. Oh, the mind is running around. The mind must be controlled. These are all effortfulness. It will not happen. If you effortfully try to put your mind, subdue your mind, it is just the opposite. It has to be effortless. Effortlessness is meditation. Often we get into meditation and then when we get up from the meditation, we are in a more tired and, I mean, defeated fighter, soldier kind of a state. So we must look into our mind after meditation. Am I in a more restful, energetic, peaceful situation, or I have become tired fighting with my mind? If it is a fight, then better avoid. Don't meditate even, that is better. Try to purify your mind, try to get rid of the desires. That is the best way to transform our thoughts. That is the doing the interaction and sadhana. You can do the meditation, but throughout the day, you have to be conscious about the aim. We have to know the goal of meditation, and that same goal is for the interactional life also. We have to be clear about the goal of our interaction life also. And throughout the day, in all our interactions, we have to be watchful and have the sadhana so that the mind gets purified and it becomes more and more like the soul. Then the meditation also will be easy. We may take it up some other time again. So the main point here is have some clarity about the aim of meditation. This is almost common in at least 20 sheets, so I spent a little more time on this in general. This way or that way, this point is coming up in the writing of many. Now the other part is, this also is quite common in quite a few cases, that tackling the restlessness of the mind, tackling the anger of the mind, tackling the hurting tendency of the mind, these are the things mentioned by many there. And in some cases it is written that I would like to overcome by controlling the mind, etc. Let us know that the method is not any control at all. By forcefully controlling the mind can never be transformed. That is why we use the word sublimation. It's a process of transformation. So the mind has to be transformed so that it thinks only the thoughts, it feeds on the thoughts we want it to be. It will only have good thoughts. The mind should be made so good that it will have only the good and progressive thoughts, what you call generally have written as positive thoughts. But it should be pure thoughts. It should be thoughts related to our aim of life, about the soul, about the universal. There should not be selfishness, there should not be constriction, there should not be jealousy, blaming tendencies. All these things are non-soul-like. It is against our expansion of the mind. So all thoughts should be conducive to the expansion of the mind to reach the final universality of the mind. Now, here we have discussed quite a few times, I have given handout also earlier, that we call it sadhana of bhava shuddhi. That is the fundamental thing, is that all this control of the mind will not work. We have to be intelligent there. Any correction, we should do it in the causal level. Suppose you have behaved angrily or hurtingly, then every time you say that, I don't want to be like this, I will, next time I will be more careful. How much of care you will take? Again something will happen, somebody will agitate you more and you will again lose your self-seatedness. So, what is the cause of having such behavior? The behavior is the effect of something. It is not the cause. Suppose you are hurting people again and again or blaming people again and again. What is the thought which is causing such behavior? Any behavior in us is preceded by a mind, some thoughts in the mind, is it not? So we have to focus within and find out what is this kind of a thought which is causing me behave like this, which I don't want. The wrong behavior is coming definitely because of some clinging to some egoistic thing, some desire, some intolerance. Everywhere we have to incorporate that universality or comprehensiveness or lack of preference and prejudice, that is clinging to what I like and hating what I dislike. By that, those thoughts have to be purified. Then the behavior will automatically be purified. Now there is further step also, that if you try to look into your thought and correct, you will find that then also you are not able to catch hold of it fully, because the thoughts just they come by themselves and go. Actually, we have to understand that what is the cause of such wrong thoughts rising in the mind. Suppose there is a iron ball. If you heat it, when it becomes red hot, it will emit red radiation. You heat it further, it will emit blue or white radiation. According to its state, it will throw the radiations. Like that, the mind, whatever is the constituent, according to that, these thoughts are radiations of the mind. The mindset, we call it. That is what we call in Sanskrit as bhava. In English, there is no word. Bhava means it has not yet expressed as thought. Suppose a person is very jealous. So his mind has that jealousy content in it. There is no reason for becoming jealous. The moment some reason comes, the jealousy thought comes out, is radiated by that mind. Suppose some mind is very liberal. Always the thoughts are not coming, but whenever the occasion is coming, it is taking the liberal position. Say a situation. One person is taking very liberal position. Another person is taking very constricted, selfish position. This is because of their mindset. Because of the bhava of the mind, the emotional content of the mind. So the thoughts we need not correct effortfully. If we transform the bhava of the mind, automatically the thoughts generated will be pure thoughts, will be the proper thoughts. And when they get into action, the actions also will be proper. We don't have to worry about every time, watch our action, watch our thought. Sometimes some wrong may happen, it will happen because of nature, some will, some good out of it. But what we have to do is to purify our bhava. Bhava shuddhi it is called. Bhava has to be purified. That is what we do in spirituality. Because in the worldly life, constantly we are dealing with things where fragmentation is there, selfishness is there, competition is there, jealousy is there. So, constantly the mind is eating upon these things. That mind has to be fed with good thoughts, uniform thoughts, universal thoughts, non-selfish thoughts, liberal thoughts. That is what we do in spirituality. We are reading about the Atma. What is that Atma? It is universal. It is one. It never changes. It does not get tainted by anything at all. Even if somebody scolds, it does not matter. If there is an explosion also, the Atma, nothing happens to it. So it is absolutely unchanging, unpolluted, untainted bhava. So by repeatedly, the more we can think about the Atma, read about the Atma, listen about the Atma, by that what is happening? We are giving the mind a food which is nutritious for the mind. The mind lives on thoughts and emotions and virtues. Just like the body, it is living on material food. The mind is living on thoughts. If you read liberal, if you read good things, the mind will become good. If you read other things, the mind will become accordingly. If you read sattvic things, sattvic books, if you see sattvic film, if you talk to sattvic people, your mind will become sattvic. It is very simple that we have to change our course of life by changing our association, our behavior. Everywhere we have to finally bring in that sattva-guna transformation so that the mind also gets transformed accordingly. The way to correct our behavior is this only. Otherwise it will never become complete. You may subdue this way, that way, can remain very restricted. Such people will have soon heart attack also. The people who are very much closed up, that is, their behaviorally might be very sweet, very calm, but seeing them, one can understand that this calmness is artificially restricted disposition put on. It is not natural. That means agitated thoughts are there, but he can have the power to subdue them. That is not good. That puts us into stress, lot of stress. Swamiji often speaks about a great person, an engineer, about it, that he was like that. And he went in a factory and saw it and came back and had the heart attack. So Swamiji says that it is because of that he was a great manager, but the managers will often not be natural. Because whatever that they will have an artificial behavior, that puts them into stress. So that is not good. That kind of a control is not good. Generally it will be either past or future, because present is not there. But the mind will either go to the past or go to the future. It just simply wanders. That is the nature of the mind. But if it is a strong memory, something is hindering you, then you need to deal with it. There are ways of dealing with it. That personally you can discuss with Swamiji. That if certain memories, say very shocking memories, or any other very strong, desireful memory, there such memories are there which constantly haunts people. In such cases, you need a special treatment to be done to get rid of that. That means you have to put some thoughts, some ways of deal with it. Generally, if it is a memory which I do not like to face, then it is better to call it intentionally and undergo the suffering. By that it will become extinguished. There are various methods like that to deal with it. If it is future, then it is related to some desire, and that is haunting. We should understand that such desire is only going to cause, the fulfillment of the desire will be hindered by such desire. If it is something to be had, we will have it by doing it properly, performing it properly. Why should we worry about that is what discussed everywhere in Bhagavad Gita. So these are to be applied. Bhagavad Gita has to be applied. If it is future related to some desire, how to tackle the desires? If it is past related to some memory, how to suffer it or allow it to dissipate through. Suppose the memories we want to keep away, it will come with redoubled force and haunt us. So we have to accept, we have to call them, oh, okay, come, come, I don't mind. And you suffer it, you exhaust it. Then it will go in a few days, it will go. Now, in some cases, if I read out, keep trying to, it is about spiritual sadhana, is written, keep trying to quieten the mind by eliminating negative thoughts through meditation, trying to accommodate to all situations and substitute the negatives by sattvic thoughts, by reading scriptures, etc. is written. But because the person is an initiated person, I have put the remark that what about the initiated sadhana? Whether he has forgotten to write, I don't know. But it is a caution that this is not only in this, at 4 sheets I have got those who are initiated, but all other sadhanas are mentioned, but the initiated part is not mentioned. Is it omission, or they are doing actually that? That is not the, if they are actually doing that, that is not the right thing. For an initiated person, the initiated sadhana should be the first thing what they are doing. Then only the other interactional sadhana and all come. You understand? Often we say that this interactional sadhana, people take it as an excuse because they don't like to sit for meditation after a few months. And they say that whenever we ask, they say, I am doing interactional sadhana. Interactions they are doing, but whether it is sadhana or not, that is, some are doing, some are not doing that also. But why should we simply leave the meditational sadhana? If our meditational sadhana is not becoming successful, then we should talk to Swamiji and tell him and ask his guidance. But just because the meditation is not becoming fruitful, we should not simply stop it. You get my point? It is not just meditation, it is giving ourselves to the Guru Shakti. So that is why I am repeatedly saying that meditation, you are not supposed to attempt only a thoughtless or anything. It is allowing the initiated power, the Guru Shakti, to work in you. So while you are interacting, it, the surrender will not become so well, so wholesome. But when you are sitting in a closed room, in isolated position, then you can completely institute that sadhana, that bhava of surrender, that completely all constrictions, all desires, all suffering, whatever is troubling me, everything I surrender to the Guru Shakti. Let it take me wherever it likes. This surrender is also an effort initially. But this effort will make you effortless. When the surrender is done through the effort, the result of surrender is becoming absolutely effortless, because it is, surrender must result in an ashraya bodha, ashrita bodha. Ashrita bodha means, yesterday also I said, refuge. By surrendering, what is happening? You are taking refuge in the Guru or in the Lord, whatever. Even if those who are not initiated also, for them also it is true. They are taking refuge in the Lord. By that surrender, you should feel absolutely free of all stress, all effortfulness. So this effort to surrender, it needs a quiet sitting, that you have to sit isolated, given to yourself, and try to completely shed all the effortfulness, all the stress. If you really do it, you will find that we have created so much of stress inside. You can locate the point in the brain, not with the hand, but you will understand that so many constrictions are there in the brain. Some competition, some jealousy, some blaming, not liking, intolerance about people. They are all creating stressful knots in our mind. They are all knots in the mind. All those knots have to be untied. That can be done through surrender. By surrendering, each knot can be untied and you will have a full spatial relaxation there. So, that is the initiated sadhana. It can do it with the mantra japa, because the mantra is the carrier for that. To have this bhava, the mantra is the carrier which will take you easily to that. Right? Okay. Are, I have taken so many copies. What to do? But these are very common and important what we discussed. These two I have done. Huh? By mantra japa, if you want to achieve it, it will be attained. If you don't want it, it will not be attained. The purpose of the doing, whatever we are doing, the purpose of the of that effort should be clear in mind. Then it will happen. In my case, I have done mantra japa with this only. That is why I am again and again advocating that surrender was my main sadhana. So naturally, I know its efficacy. Not only then, in other places also it has been mentioned. In Patanjali Yoga Darshana, they have explained everything, and finally, after some time, they have said, Ishvara Pranidhanadva. That means, leave all these things, you simply surrender to the Lord and it will happen. So, it is given the highest position. I will, still time is there, I will take up one after.
Prabuddham vimuktam vikaradihinam prasannam sada nitya bodhasvarupam param nischalam nirgunam sarvarupam bhajeham sadanu smarami pranomi prabuddham vimuktam vikaradihinam Prasannam sada nitya bodhasvarupam param nischalam nirgunam sarvarupam bhajeham sada smarami pranomi.